Welcome and aloha. This is Maren Schmidt and welcome to a Kids Talk webinar. In today's session, we'll be looking at how our electronic world is affecting childhood development. I have three questions to pose today, three questions that I think are important for all of us to ask ourselves. We'll also look at how a child's brain grows in response to the child's environment. So, let's get started. If you have any questions for me, please use the question and answer box below the video. If you are on a mobile device, you may need to minimize your screen to access that box. After the webinar, I will send you a personal response. Please send your questions along during my presentation. There is also an action guide available for you to download, again, on the right-hand side of the screen. This handout is full of great information you won't want to miss. Our topic today comes from a variety of questions that I have gotten over the years about screen time. 10 years ago, the concern was more about television usage. Now with phones and tablets, we have difficulty unplugging and disconnecting from our electronic world. Beeps and tweets are headed toward us 24 hours a day. What does all this mean in terms of our children's overall development? Futurists are planning computer glasses for all of us. Some foresee implants of microchips at birth in order to make computing literally in our fingertips. What technology will look like in the years ahead, who knows? One thing for sure, electronic media in all its various forms is here to stay. As technology grows, what becomes essential questions for me are these. How does our interdependence on this human-created superstructure of internet technology affect our humanity? How does this technology affect our children's natural and normal development, development that has been closely connected to nature since the beginning of time? How can we use our technology wisely to help us maximize what it means to be human? I pose these questions to help us act instead of react to the electron stimuli that surround us. Our children are growing up in a strange new world, one that is very different from where we as parents, grandparents, and teachers spent our childhood years. I can't answer these three questions. They are really for all of us to ask and try to find answers as we work with children. Let's look now at some core elements of early childhood development for the child under the age of 7 years. In previous sessions, we've talked about the five major sensitive periods of development for children between birth through 6 years, meaning up to their 7th birthday. This age child is in sensitive or critical periods of development that drive children's natural internal learning. There are five major developmental periods between birth and age 7. Language, movement, understanding the order within one's environment, refinement of sensory perceptions, and the development of social relationships and social skills. Children during this age have an absorbent mind, meaning they are absorbing the details of life from their environment that consists of people, object and tools, ideas, and nature. Children have a natural propensity to connect positively to everything in their environments. The newborn listens and looks intensely at his mother. Research shows that a newborn recognizes the voices of his mother and father almost immediately. Even in utero, children are absorbing language and are beginning to make social connections. The young child's brain is growing at a tremendous rate. Brain researchers believe that a newborn's brain creates neurons at a rate of over 250,000 per minute. The young brain grows and absorbs sensory information without evaluating, filtering, or giving priority to the information. The brain receives each sensory event with the same import as every other sensory experience. The young brain hasn't yet learned how to filter critical information for survival as true or false, real or fantasy, good or bad. the brain receives violence, disrespect, hurtful language, and physical abuse with the same sense of reality as calmness, kindness, positivity, and gentleness. Loud noises, harsh lighting, disruptions, irregular schedules, though, are among the activities that create stress in the young child. These various stimuli communicate to the brain and body to be on danger alert. The child's brain seeks to control stress and begins to create a brain structure based on acceptance or avoidance of the stimuli in the child's environment. During the first 6 years of life, the child is in a sensitive period for learning about human relationships and what it means to be human. When the environment is such that the brain perceives the child's surroundings as hurtful, brain structure begins to reflect that perception by pruning down neuron development for hearing, touch, hunger, etc., to compensate for the stressful sensory overload. For example, if the environment is loud, hearing will develop based on a range of frequencies that won't include softer vibrations. A few years ago, you might remember the news stories of Japanese children having seizures after watching a television show with pulsating colored lights. Their brains and bodies were objecting to sensory overload. Likewise, if the environment is calm and nurturing, the brain develops in response to that life-affirming presence. Feeling safe calms the emotional part of the brain. That calm allows essential learning to occur at a faster rate. The brain, during the first 2 years of life, is absorbing information as if everything experienced were normal, and brain development responds accordingly. If normal is loud, violent, or abusive, and not the expected loving interaction with adults, the child's brain development begins to incorporate defense mechanisms and avoids interaction. A calm and safe environment supports the child's natural tendencies to be curious and to seek out new, challenging, and meaningful experiences, the core of true learning. We need to minimize the amount of distress in our young children's environments. Noise levels, lighting, abrupt disruptions, and the threat of violence from television or other electronic media need to be managed by the adults in the child's life in order to maximize healthy brain growth. If you have a television or a computer in your home, step outside sometime today and look through a window at the screens. Imagine being a newborn, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, and if you can do this at night, looking into a dark house with only the screens lit, the impact of the screen becomes more clear. What are the lighting, the changes in images, and the type of images conveying to a child's mind? Think about how your child's brain is reacting to these stressors and how you can minimize these stressors. Remember, a child's brain grows in response to its environment. About 15 years ago at school, I had a three-year-old boy whom I'll call Bobby, not his real name, who was experiencing a language delay. Around age 2.5, children should be able to speak in clear sentences and to be able to make all the sounds in his or her mother tongue. But three-year-old Bobby was not speaking in sentences. Bobby was choosing and doing work in the classroom, but his work cycle was disrupted by some different behaviors. What his teacher didn't understand was his walking around the classroom, making odd sounds, and she asked me to come in and observe Bobby. I watched Bobby walk around the classroom, turning at the end of the shelves as if he were in a maze. He would make different sounds as he went around the corners or met up with another child, turned around, or walked straight. When I asked him what he was doing, he couldn't tell me. That same week, Bobby's grandmother came to pick up from school and chatted with me about her week-long visit and how she was taking care of Bobby and his older brothers while their parents were gone. "Bobby is so easy to take care of," she told me. "He eats his lunch, then goes upstairs and plays his video games until his brothers get home in the afternoon. Then they play video games together until dinner." Even that bit of information didn't clue me into what was happening. That same week, I walked into one of those pizza restaurants that has all sorts of games, and I heard the noises that Bobby was making in the classroom. I stopped to see where they were coming from. It was a Pac-Man game. For perhaps 10 minutes, I watched as the figures and sounds meshed with what I had observed Bobby do in the classroom. Bobby's sensitive periods for absorbing language, movement, social relationships, understanding the order of one's environment, and refining sensory perceptions had led him to sounding and acting like Pac-Man. That was 15 years ago. How many more technology attachments are now available to our children? And they are attachments. When Bobby's parents tried to stop him from playing Pac-Man 6 hours a day, he was not a happy camper. Bobby's young brain was used to responding to the constant stimuli of sound, light, and color. That environment was Bobby's normal. It was difficult and uncomfortable for him to learn to focus on other activities. I tell this story about Bobby because we don't have a map of how all our technology is affecting child development. We do have a good map and substantial evidence of how child development has unfolded over the past 200 years. Perhaps beginning with Jean Itard's work with Victor, the wild boy of Avignon in 1800, we have gathered important information about how children and all of us learn from our environments. The almost incessant use of technology has changed the landscape of childhood, but child development has not changed. Children need opportunities to make meaningful connections with people and learn vital skills to care for themselves and others. Children need to use their hands to learn. About 25% of the sensory motor cortex in the brain is devoted to input from the hands, and about half of the sensory motor cortex is dedicated to input from the eyes. The hand and the mind working together support essential learning in fundamental ways. Children need movement, lots of movement, as the brain grows best with movement, large and small. Children need language, rich environments with clear and accurate language. 90% of our adult spoken vocabulary is in place by the time we are 6 years old. Children need opportunities to explore their environments filled with people, objects and tools, ideas and nature, places much richer in sensory input than electronic screens. To optimize learning and child development, there are two qualities that we want to help our children develop: independence and concentration. For every activity we see a child doing, we should ask this question: is this activity promoting independence and concentration in my child? If we answer no to either one of those things, we need to redirect the child to a different activity and change the environment to allow for the development of independence and concentration. Living life unplugged, providing for natural child development. It's up to you. If you have a question, please use the box below the video to send it to me. You will receive a personal reply from me. Also, be on the lookout for some more information about children and screen time in your email. Before I close, I'd like to tell you about a few resources I have for families, teachers, and school leaders. I offer 3 newsletters. All of them are free. Kids Talk, Understanding Montessori, which is now offered as a series beginning with sensitive periods, and for school leaders. I offer 4 free online short courses: Connecting with Children, Preparing Your Home the Montessori Way, Finding Motivation the Montessori Way, and Nourishing Creativity in Montessori Environments. I offer professional fee-based online courses: Reading Fundamentals for your 3 to 6-year-old, Unscramble Spelling, Problem-Solving Tools to Use with Children, Secrets of Observation, and Seeing Your Child the Montessori Way, a parent support program that teachers also love to take for professional development. Kids Talk online workshops and newsletters are the fun and affordable way for you to offer Montessori professional development as well as parent education and support. Attendance certificates for CEUs are available for all your professional Kids Talk online workshops. To purchase multiple courses, please contact me for volume pricing information. Kids Talk workshops are an easy way to offer professional development to your staff. Be sure to visit Marenschmidt.com to take a free workshop and sign up for your newsletters. Thank you again for joining me today for this session on Living Life Unplugged. I hope I've been able to give you some insight on how a child's brain grows in response to the child's environment, especially an electronic environment. Again, for those of you with questions, please look for an answer from me in the next day or so. It's been my pleasure and an honor to be here with you today. I hope to see you in a Kids Talk workshop soon. Until next time, this is Maren Schmidt. Thank you and mahalo.